couch of potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week, we're going to be going to Oz with Oz the Great and Powerful. We're also going to see Noomi Rapace reprise her relationship, I guess, professional relationship with the director. I don't know what his name
is. I guess.
Of the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yes.
In Dead Man Down, there's also Emperor. That kind of snuck up on us.
Surprise!
Threw that in there! It's got Tommy Lee Jones in it. And there's also going to be some DVDs and Blu-rays. There's also a listener voicemail we're going to listen to.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Our phone works.
But first, we're going to have to talk about the box office, which Kristen was pretty close on, and I was disastrously wrong. Place your
which
bets,
is
people.
Sad.
I'm going to go to Vegas and lose everything. Who wants to send in money for me to do that? Jack the Giant Slayer won the box office with a somewhat measly $27 million, which isn't good for a movie that cost $195 million.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate, but, well, you know, when you've seen the movie.
It happens, but you were close. You said $22
million. Yes.
Which was, it did better, so, yeah. You know, you underestimated Jack.
Yes, I did.
And I said I just decided to go with $21 million for 21 and over because, I mean, Project X did so well last year.
I know.
And
this is better.
This one didn't. It came in with $8.7 million in number three.
Wah, wah.
Right between the two is Identity Theft with $9.7 million, so it's still doing good. It cracked $100 million. I guess that's an accomplishment. Good job. Terrible movie. There's also... Then it runs down the list of the other
stuff.
Speaking
of terrible movies,
yeah, then
moving on.
Snitch at $7.8 million, and then The Last Exorcism Part 2 came in with just a terrible $7.7 million, which is less than half of what its predecessor made. And then I saw something, and I'm just like, oh, please don't add this to the conversation. Box Office Mojo had an article where they're mentioned in the article. They're like, well, we don't know if this is relevant, but if you notice, both Project X and The Last Exorcism were found footage movies, and they're sort of their counterparts, 21 and over, and The Last Exorcism Part 2 were not.
We do not need to suggest that.
Yeah, please, Hollywood, do not think that these movies would have done better if they're found footage.
No.
I think the reason 21 and over didn't do as well because I think Project X was just an anomaly.
Yeah.
And this one did kind of seem to be trying to go off that sort of marketing campaign.
A little bit, yeah.
And The Last Exorcism 2 is just a dumb title, I think. There's too many people couldn't get past it.
I can't.
It's like the reason why The NeverEnding Story Part 2 and 3 did very well. They were not very good.
I was wondering if they changed the title of The Last Exorcism, the first one, to the next to The Last Exorcism.
The penultimate
yes.
Exorcism? See? I know big words.
Sometimes, yeah. Did you look that up before you showed up here?
No, I've misused it enough that I've been called out on it, and so now I know what it means. Sort of like if you just go run around, use the word irregardless as much as you can, eventually people will point out that that's not a word, and yeah. You sound stupid saying it.
It's kind of like the best way to get to know a city. Is mm-hmm. just to go there and get lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't always work out great for people. You don't
it's
want to
true.
Do that in, like, Chicago.
I was just going to say that's where I did it. So there you have it.
I was
and now I know Chicago really well.
I was in Chicago, and if you've driven through Chicago, as you have, I'm
yes.
sure, it takes forever. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, really nowhere to pull off the freeway. I had to use
no.
the bathroom really, 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 really bad. And we ended up having to the first time we could actually get off and be able to get back on was somewhere in the south side near Kaminsky Park, which
mm-hmm.
is a terrible area. Mm. It is not a good area. And we also were running out of gas. So I got gas in the gas station, locked my family in the car, and went in to use the bathroom.
Nice.
Hoping against hope that when I came out,
your
everything
whole family
would still
be there.
Yeah,
and all the parts would be on your car still.
Yeah, they wouldn't be beheaded. And
still had all the hubcaps.
Yeah. Hubcaps. Who's going to steal like a Saturn SL2's hubcaps?
You never know.
That's true. It was a pimpin' ride.
They could have a black market value. You never know.
Of a quarter. It cost me more to buy the soda so I could use the bathroom, I guess. Anyways, then the rest ones, you know, Escape from Planet Earth and blah, 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 all the way down. Phantom came in at 508,000, which was not very good.
Woo.
It's kind of a shame because it wasn't a bad movie.
Well, and they just didn't market it at all.
It's like Emperor. This week, Emperor's coming out. Nobody
yeah.
knows Emperor's coming
right.
out.
Right.
The Emperor doesn't even know Emperor's coming out. It's about General Douglas MacArthur. I'll bet his family doesn't even know this movie's coming out.
What?
So, and then the other... What? The other big news is The Hobbit hit $1 billion, which is impressive.
Ching.
Which I'm glad because I liked The Hobbit. I liked it actually better than the other Lord of the Rings movies.
Really?
Sacrilege.
Yes.
If you want to reach us on the show, you can... go to, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies. You can also leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. Like I said, we have more proof that the phone number works.
It's so exciting.
Take that, AT&T. Fatguysatthemovies.com, you can reach us. You can also go to facebook.com/FGATM. You can reach me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am at KDK Reviews, or you can find me at nightsandweekends.com or realdiscovery.org.
That's right. You are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
Next, we're going to talk a little bit about some movie news. There's been some sort of development news, a lot of casting news.
It has been a busy week for news.
Yeah, there's the big one is there's two big things for Harrison Ford.
Yes.
First of all, he and Carrie Fisher have both confirmed that they're going to be in the next Star Wars movie.
Which is crazy.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, not Carrie Fisher, has been confirmed to be in an Anchorman 2.
It would be nice if they brought Carrie Fisher in, too.
That would be great. They should. I think they really should. Yeah. And they should, like, give her all the drugs she can take.
No.
And just have her stumble in. Because I can guarantee you Harrison Ford's going to be in all the drugs he can take, too.
Well, you know, he is old.
What are your thoughts on those two separate stories? Let's start with Anchorman first.
I think, you know, there's the obvious connection there. Harrison Ford was in Morning Glory.
I know. There's a lot of people. That's the obvious connection?
Yeah.
That's what the development executives over at DreamWorks are like, well, I don't know.
Well, no, that's the first thing a lot of us thought. We're like, oh, Harrison Ford, he's an Anchorman.
I liked Morning Glory.
I did too.
Charming little
movie. It was
movie.
Cute. Yeah. So, yeah, and you know, everybody complains about how crusty Harrison Ford has gotten, but I'll take it.
Especially Calista Flockhart. She's like, boy, he's crusty.
Yeah,
you do
true.
Not want to have to do his drawers. You know, here's my only problem with him in Anchorman 2 is, I mean, there. I guess you got the whole Morning Glory connection, which is cool because it was a charming little movie. My problem with Harrison Ford is that he plays the same character in like everything in the last 5 years.
It's true.
And it's not what he used to, because he always used to play sort of like the gruff but scoundrel but still good-hearted, Han Solo, Indiana Jones, Fred Decker. Or Frank Decker, I think. Fred Decker's a director. from Blade Runner.
He has definitely gotten very crusty lately.
Yeah, really. I think his thing is that he's playing Harrison Ford, who hasn't had his weed yet, is I think who he plays. Because if you see him on the talk shows, he's as high as a kite. He's like got an earring in. He's like, is that what they say? Okay. Yeah. Nice. That's how he conducts an interview on The Tonight Show.
Okay.
Gets in a movie, they're like, nope, before, you cannot have your weed yet. Set the weed aside, and then he's like, give me my weed! And then he just tokes up, and then he's like, oh, is that okay? Because they don't want that. Nobody wants Indiana Jones walking around going, yeah.
Nice.
Contemplating the universe.
It's true.
He has
gotten a little crusty, but I'm okay with it.
You're okay?
Yeah. I'll take it.
I think they're overcasting Anchorman too. I mean,
it's true. I mean, everybody is in this movie.
Yeah, I'm not in it yet.
I am.
Call me. You are?
Oh yeah.
Oh cool.
Yeah.
You gonna punch Kristen Wiig in the face or something?
I sure hope so.
All right. What do you think about the Star Wars angle?
We'll see how this plays out. That's what I'll say about that.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's gonna be. It has a possibility of being really awesome because these are characters you've seen before.
Right.
But have you seen Carrie Fisher
lately?
She does not. I hope to God they don't put her in a brass bikini.
Oh, jeez.
And have her come straddling out on top of a hut or something like that. It could be very fun, but it could be also.
Yeah, it could go so horribly wrong.
It's sort of like when, like, you know, I'm going to give a Facebook analogy. It's kind of like when you get on Facebook and there are people you know that you're like, oh, let me find so-and-so that I knew in high school. And you're like,
oh,
isn't that? And you're just like.
Yeah.
And usually it's pictures of their kids as
yes.
their, you know, that's,
yes.
that's your indicator that you're gotten fat is that you put your kids in your Facebook photos, but you're not in them anywhere. That's what happens. Not
it
me.
Is,
I'm there fat for everyone to see.
Yeah. It is one of those things. It makes me feel young sometimes because I'll look at these, like, when do these people get old? What's up with these people? Because I'm not that old.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to them.
My son had a musical performance at school, like a musical, and I went and I saw that, and I realized he's in middle school, so he's in sixth grade. You realize how awkward everyone looks in middle school. It also happens in the late 30s and into the 40s. That's when everyone gets really weird looking. And some people serve it really nicely. But that's about it. We're going to talk about a couple more items in movie news later, but we got to go to a break. And right now we're going to talk, we're going to talk about Oz the Great and Powerful and Dead Man Down and eventually Epilogue.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We've been talking about some of the movie news that's been going on this week. It's been a busy week for movie news. A
lot of geek stuff happening.
Yes. So speaking of geeks and movies.
Yes. I don't know if that's a great segue, but go on.
No, it's
not. A movie.
Hey, it's a segue. This is what you pay me for.
That's right.
This is why I make the big bucks.
Send me your invoice quickly. Yes.
So let's talk about a movie, actually, instead of some movie news.
All right. And what movie is that? It's going to be Oz the Great and Five. I'm completely confused.
This is
here.
Why we pay you the big bucks.
We were talking about alcohol and cocktails
during the
break, and I think I got drunk by association. Anyways, we're going to be talking about Oz the Great and Powerful. James Franco plays a sideshow magician who is transported. Magician? See, I told you. Sideshow magician who is transported to a magical land of Oz where he must stop the rule of a wicked witch.
Kansas is full of good men. I don't want to be a good man. I want to be a great one.
You're going to need this!
It's the Emerald City. You are here at last, and the prophecy shall be fulfilled.
This is my sister, Evanora. I'm here to serve you.
The royal treasure of Oz. It belongs to you, but only after you defeat the Wicked Witch.
Just how wicked is she?
Are you a fan of the original Wizard of Oz? Because I know there's some people who aren't.
I am.
Okay. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I love The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think this did justice?
I would say that this movie is not an instant classic.
Okay.
How about that?
It's gonna show up on the cover box of the DVD. It'll be like
instant classic.
An instant classic. Yes. Kristen Dreyer Kramer, Fat Guys in the Movies.
I think, you know.
Were you disappointed in it?
Not necessarily, because I wasn't exactly thinking that it was going to be the greatest movie of the year.
Okay. Well, it's March, so
yeah.
It's not going to happen anyway.
No. This movie is this year's Alice in Wonderland.
We know it's funny. A lot of people compare it.
Yeah.
Because, and Alice in Wonderland was always Disney's Oz anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Before they let the rights go to a point where they could do this.
Right.
And a lot of people dump on Alice in Wonderland, but that's like, it made $1 billion. So.
Exactly. And that's why a movie like this exists, because yeah. It's a big, flashy, crazy, colorful 3D movie that, yeah. You know, the family can see.
Yeah.
And for that, it does its job.
Sure.
You know, it's got the 3D effects that are all over the place. And the kids will be going nuts over spears flying and water splashing. And there's all kinds of gimmicky 3D.
Fire!
Yeah, it's crazy. But when it comes down to being a prequel to The Wizard of Oz, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, I did like the gimmicky 3D effects.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they were appropriate. I mean, I don't want to see it in the Avengers.
No. It was a little disorienting sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was a little fuzzy, the 3D. Yeah. But I think it was bright and colorful and pretty. And the gimmicky stuff is fun. You know, I may be, you know, a cranky old critic and go, "Rawr, gimmicky." But it's still fun.
Well, and the thing is, it's directed by Sam Raimi.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, most normal people walking the streets who aren't goofy movie fans,
who don't instantly think, isn't that the guy who did Evil Dead?
Yeah, they don't think Evil
that's
Dead.
That's what I think.
Evil like, Dead.
But Sam Raimi did Evil Dead, and now he's doing The Wizard of Oz?
Most people are thinking Spider-Man movies, and even though there's a lot of movement, and Sam Raimi is a very much he will throw the camera around.
Yeah.
And you get that a lot in Spider-Man, but it was still a much more mainstream movie. This one looks like an Evil Dead movie, only the nicest, sweetest Evil Dead movie you're ever going to see. Because he's got more like Evil Dead 2. If you really want to, I mean, if you really want to split hairs on the Sam Raimi level,
yeah.
Evil Dead 2 was a very Three Stooges version of
very much so,
Evil
yeah.
Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. So when I saw all this crazy camera movement and things thrown at you, that didn't bother me.
No.
Because I'm like, well, I expect that from Sam Raimi. If it's Steven
wacky,
Spielberg,
it's all right. Yeah.
Well, maybe not. You know, if it was like Terrence Malick, I'd be like, what? I'd probably like it better.
I would, yes. I think my biggest problem with the movie is James Franco.
He does sort of just, you know, do his Oscar hosting performance in this, doesn't
and
he?
And this is a difficult character to play.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a character who's pretty much just a no good shyster.
Yeah.
And
who's just trying to get laid. Even when he shows up in Oz, he's like, I'm in this magical land with fairies and dwarves and all
and
this.
And pretty witches.
Hey, look.
Hey, witch.
You want to get together?
Yeah.
Want to have a go? Hey.
Yeah. So he's not a likable character. And you need the right actor to handle this character to make him likable.
I think James Franco not working on, like James Franco under Danny Boyle could do it.
Okay.
But not James Franco under Sam Raimi.
This is, it's like a Johnny Depp role. Yeah. You know, you can see him as the lovable scamp. And, you know, James Franco is just, he's cheesy and overdone yeah. and kind of annoying.
Well, and here's an interesting story. I'll get your take on this. Yeah. A friend of the show, Elizabeth Rapp, mm-hmm. who writes for film.com, she wrote a really interesting article about how this is sort of a step back for witches and feminism and women in general. Because if you look at the Oz books, if you go back and look at this, okay. what, I think 17, she said. I've read a bunch of them years ago.
Okay.
There's and L. Frank Baum was a feminist himself. He was all for women's suffrage and that sort of thing.
Hmm.
He, all his characters, the heroes are women. The villains are women. It's a very female-centric story. You got Dorothy. She gets replaced by another girl at one point. I forget the name of her,
mm-hmm.
Who has a mule instead of a dog. But you've got Ozma mm-hmm. of Oz and Mombi, and you've got the Wicked Witch, and you got Glinda and all mm-hmm. the other. So it's all very – it's driven by a female element.
That's an interesting point.
And
because, yeah.
not.
Oh, no.
It's all like, oh, you're the guy who's going to save us.
Right.
So.
And even, you know, before he gets to Oz, all of the women are stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all falling for his tricks.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying to watch them fall for his tricks because you're like, look, this guy is all wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the guys that if he throws a line at you, you're like, yeah, whatever. Move it along.
It's amazing that none of the men in Oz have figured out how to, like, you know, just tell lies. It's sort of like the invention of lying with Ricky Gervais,
yeah.
where he just discovers you can lie and people will believe you.
Yeah.
That's kind of Oz.
It is.
With all that said, though, I have to say I was okay with the movie. I thought it was fine. It was like Alice
yeah.
in Wonderland.
Yep.
I liked Alice in Wonderland.
I was okay with Alice yeah. in Wonderland.
I mean, I don't think it was – I don't think Alice in Wonderland deserved to be that billion-dollar movie, but
no.
I also didn't think it was the worst piece of garbage that ever came out of the studio system either.
Right.
There's a lot of people that were like – I mean, you talked to them. That it was like Alice in Wonderland was the worst thing that was ever made in
no.
the history of the universe. And
no,
it's not.
It was just a little wacky and all over the place, yeah. but it was entertaining, and that's what this is for. This is an entertaining family movie.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, too, for what
yeah.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
So. I give it a kind of rocks.
I give it a kind of rocks, too.
Cool. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought I'd throw you in there first.
Thanks.
The next one we're going to talk about, and we're going to end up spilling over into the next segment, is Dead Man Down. So what's
yes.
that about?
In this gritty crime thriller from the director of the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Noomi Rapace and Colin Farrell star as two desperate people out for revenge.
The person doing this to me... I want him to know if there's anything left in this world that he still cares about, I'm going to burn it down. Why'd you follow me?
I wanted to find out more about you.
I know why you really came tonight. You want to find out if the girl's been watching you, saw what you did. I saw you kill this man.
The only thing I have to say about this, just off the bat,
yes.
I think Noomi Rapace is the most adorable creature on the planet.
She is kind of cute, isn't she?
I think she's so cute.
Yeah.
Even when she's like all bloodied and almost dead and
tattooed and angry.
Yeah, she can be in the most violent, awful situation. I'm like, oh, she's so cute.
She is kind of cute.
Well,
there you have it. That's all we have to say about this movie because it didn't screen.
Adorable people.
So we haven't seen it.
Yeah, we'll talk. You know, it just gets a preemptive suck. If
yes.
we have time, we'll talk about it in the next segment. But now we got to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Emperor and box office. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Is there anything you want to say about Dead Man Down? We talked a little. We didn't talk about it at all. We just talked about how adorable Noomi Rapace is.
She is cute.
More adorable than Terrence Howard.
Yes.
And I don't know, depending on, you know, who
Colin
you are.
Colin Farrell's kind of adorable.
Colin Farrell's adorable.
I think so.
But he's like you know, like Harrison Ford, he seems like he's always drunk.
In a gritty, grungy, drunken kind of way. He's adorable.
The filthier he is, the sexier he gets.
There
yes,
you go.
That's right. Kind of like Gina Gershon. I like the trashy ladies.
There you go.
Taryn Manning. Did I just creep you out? You're turning
you know,
a little bit red.
It's because it's hot in here.
I was telling you, I was during the break, I was...
You know, you creep me out at least once during every show. So there was your time this show.
During the break, I was telling Kristen about how I once interviewed a wrestler at Nationwide Arena downtown in Columbus, and he was asking where all the strip clubs were, and I knew where they are.
Yeah.
So she's like, I know what you do in your spare time.
I always knew that.
I actually had some cash. Strip clubs, yeah.
But only ones.
The most depressing thing in the world is going to a strip club with no money. Everyone should do that just once to be like, oh my God, this is rock bottom. Am I sharing
too
much?
So on that note.
So nothing to say about Dead Man Down? Are you all looking forward to it?
You know, it's one of those things. It looks intriguing. Mm. But the fact that it's not screening anywhere.
It's not screening like I don't think
anywhere.
And that, I was bugging the publicist. I'm like the Nationwide publicist saying, can I get a screen? And they're like, we're not sending out screeners for that.
And that just, that tells me that the trailer is all you get with this.
I'm like, I got a screener for the submarine movie that made $500,000 last
yes.
weekend. They're not sending me a screener for Dead Man Down. So
yeah.
Anyways, on that note,
yeah,
let's move on to the next movie that nobody's going to see or cares
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Let's do that.
All right. That is Emperor. Tommy Lee Jones plays General Douglas MacArthur. You've heard of that guy, haven't you?
I have, yeah. Once or twice.
Who opens an investigation into the Emperor of Japan after World War II.
The President has given me all of 10 days to conduct an investigation into the Emperor's role in the war.
10 days?
That's right.
It's not feasable, sir.
If I put him on trial,
making this your job,
he's setting the spot.
You know this country.
Powder keg.
I have confidence in you.
If I put him on trial, I could be setting a spark to a powder keg at precisely the wrong moment.
If I arrest the Emperor, I'll face mass suicides, possibly open revolt.
I haven't seen this movie?
No.
You haven't seen this movie?
I have not seen this movie.
The only limited screenings I ever saw of this that I heard about were ones that were like right before it opens.
Yes.
So, we didn't see this movie.
No.
But it has Tommy Lee Jones in it, reprising his role from Captain America. As I like to look at it that way. As that guy then just moved up and became General... That was General Douglas MacArthur who trained Captain America.
Well, there you go. And, you know, it's Tommy Lee Jones. You can't go wrong with Tommy Lee Jones. He can be in anything and just play the most ridiculous role. And mm-hmm. I love him anyway.
Yeah, I've heard that he is a pain in the butt to interview.
Oh, he I can totally imagine that.
Grumpy.
That's what everybody says. That's why he didn't get the Oscar, because everybody hates him.
Yeah. No, I know a friend of the show, Gray Drake, who writes for Fandango.
We have a lot of friends.
We do. Mm. We're a very friendly show. But Gray is a wonderful journalist, and she's very vibrant, and you know she's got pink hair. So I mean, it's already, you already know you're in for a fun time when you go to talk to her, because she's got this pink faux hawk. And
I wish I had a pink faux hawk.
You should get a pink faux hawk. You were on TV.
Yes.
A week or two ago. Mm-hmm. You should have had a pink faux hawk.
I should have. I did get my hair cut. Because, you know, I rarely do that. So. Because, you know, I'm on the radio.
Nobody cares
what my hair looks like.
The only reason I bathe is because I actually get in a room with you.
It's
and
true.
It's a tiny room.
Yeah.
Anyways, but Gray was telling me when she was doing the junkets and interviews for Men in Black 3 mm-hmm. that he just went, and it was like all the journalists are like trying to see, can we get him to break? Can we get him to answer questions? All these, everyone's like, he's like famous, and he's made like journalists cry because he's such a pain to interview.
Nice.
And she got him to smile, which she's like, yes! Like, got it! How can you not smile at like a 5'10" woman with a pink faux hawk? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
It's as adorable as Noomi Rapace.
Oh.
Anyways,
I hope she's listening.
Noomi Rapace or Gray?
No, your friend Gray.
Gray might. I might have to send her an email. I might have to tell her to check it out. Check out the show.
And if she can come here and do my hair, I'll go with a pink faux hawk.
Ooh. Ooh, she comes to town sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah. You don't know what you got yourself into.
I could go pink for a while. They have spray paint that's pink, right?
We've exhausted not talking about Emperor. I don't know. It could be a good movie. It could not be. It gets a preemptive suck.
Yep.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, okay. Nobody knows about this. I don't even know where it's opening. It's opening in Columbus.
It's not opening in that many places.
Yeah.
A handful of cities.
All right, let's talk... We're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. I guess now is a good enough time to talk about box office. What do you think is going to happen?
Hey, we might as well. You know, I'm going to go with Emperor. No, I'm not.
No, it'll make $50.
I think there's pretty much one pick for this week.
I
have to say Oz.
Oz? I say Oz, too, but yes. I wrote a number down because I didn't want to be accused of
Okay, I have a number, too. What is your number?
You want me to do it first? Should we do it at
sure,
the same time?
Go ahead. You can do
one.
You can do your number.
70 million.
Really? Because mine right here says 75.
Oh.
So.
What if it's like 72 and a half?
That would be pretty awesome,
we'll have
actually.
To Indian wrestle.
Because I did also note that Alice in Wonderland made $116 million in its opening week, and that ain't happening.
And it was like in January or February, if I'm not mistaken.
It was also March.
Was it March?
Yep, it was the first weekend of March.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Well, I went by the by the 300 numbers, because 300 made in the 70s. Now, it wasn't 3D, and ticket prices were cheaper six years ago. But it came out in this time frame. This is a week that people like to go see movies. The other reason I chose such a relatively high number is last week we had sort of that family updated fairy tale adventure.
Yep.
And it's not that people rejected it, but people kind of like, well, I'll go see this. And then they did. And I think that I think that Jack the Giant Slayer is just going to get decimated next week.
Oh, yeah.
Because Oz is gonna...
Because, people have seen it now.
Yeah. Well, and I think that here's why I think Oz is going to do relatively well with just the general audience.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a tightrope, because this is a Disney movie. If you don't follow the sort of the news behind it, it's a Disney movie. Wizard of Oz was made by MGM, which threw all these rights, and it finally landed in the hands of Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So Disney and Warner Brothers have to go back and forth because... Then there's the L. Frank Baum estate that's dealing with it, and it's who owns what, and could they – and they're really close. I mean, they skirt really close to a lot of what you see in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think this is the kind of prequel that's going to turn people off.
No. And, at our screening, I don't know if you were there already.
Oh, there's that woman.
The woman who
– Oh, my God.
Yes, actually got up and said that her friend – had been counting down the days for 2 years to see this movie. And, she missed out on the special Oz 3D glasses.
Which is funny because they're green rims, or the green, like, what are those things called?
I didn't even see them. Stems.
Stems. Yeah. And then the rims that go around the eye? The things that go around your eyes, the circular things, were gold. And then underneath one of them was a little Z. So it's like one of them says Oz. But if you look at somebody's face, it looks like it says ooze.
Yeah, they were kind of wacky.
Yeah.
And I still have my Harry Potter glasses.
Yeah, I have those.
Those are great glasses. But, I don't think those are glasses that I would be wearing again.
No, but it was funny. I was standing at the screening talking to you, and there was this, and the woman was like, we're kind of in that horizontal aisle in the theater right in the center.
Yeah.
And the woman who did this was in the first row going down, so I was looking down at her and her friend.
Yeah, she was right in front of us.
Her friend had her head buried in her hands. She was so embarrassed about
that. But
she
got her glasses. Because there was some guy who was there who was like, I don't care. Take my glasses. Whatever.
I'm
going to
throw them out. I don't even have kids.
Yeah.
Boom.
Here's your glasses, crazy lady.
But I do think, it's going to be it's a crowd pleaser.
It is.
It's something it's going to do. It's going to do crazy business overseas. I mean, crazy business.
Yes.
I would not be surprised if this movie breaks $1 billion worldwide. It'll make like $600-700 million overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's that kind of film.
It is. It is that kind of film.
I still liked it. I thought it was okay. And then I think it's just going to rattle down. I think Dead Man Down is going to somewhere like at 5.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to do a lot now.
And Emperor is probably going to make $500,000 like Phantom did. But that's about it. That's our box office prediction. Listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Welcome back to our final segment.
Hello.
Before we move on to DVDs, we're going to be talking. We're going to actually listen to a voicemail we got from Joshua from Southern California.
Hello, Joshua.
So let's just straight away play that out for you.
Hey guys, this is Joshua calling you from Southern California. First of all, I just want to say love the show. Been listening since 2007, and love Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Great relationship for you, Miller. I have a question for you guys. Recently, I heard about the Guardians of the Galaxy film they're doing in 2014 and a possibility that they'll they'll appear with the Avengers at some point in some film later in time. My question is, with Disney having Star Wars and the Marvel films, are they going to be putting too much out? Do you think they'll be able to handle it without saturating the product and the brand?
All right, Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers crossovers. First of all, I have to admit, there's a bit of ignorance on my part because I never read Marvel comics, so I'm not familiar
with it. This amazes me because you know about all things comic book.
Well, but see, when I was a kid, there were Marvel and DC, and you couldn't just follow. I mean, you can follow both, but it's very expensive because you had to buy all the comics. And So
it's kind of like rival gangs.
Yeah, I was a Crips.
Yeah.
I was in the Crips, the DC, the blue ones.
Gotcha.
And Marvel was red. No. So I chose Superman, Batman, Green Lantern. That's the stuff I followed because that's all I could afford to buy. And then the Marvel stuff I never read, which makes me enjoy the Marvel movies better because I'm not like encumbered by, well, they didn't do this. And, you know.
Yeah, that is true, because I can enjoy them because, you know, a lot of these things I'd never heard of before. Yeah. So a lot of these Marvel movies come along, and it's so much fun because I've never seen this before, and I don't know about the characters, so, you know.
Like in Fantastic Four, Dr. Doom, they ruined the character. I'm like, I thought he was really awesome. Zap people with electricity? You mean he didn't do that in the books?
Hmm.
So Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't know anything about, but I've heard a lot of the news, and it's talking about it's going to be taking place in space.
Right.
Perhaps it'll be an Avengers crossover. I don't know. We don't. I don't know. I'm curious to see where this all goes.
Yeah, there is a lot going on right now. There is a lot of speculation and a lot of news all of a sudden coming out.
And the thing with the crossovers, I would love to, what the crossover I actually want to see is I want to see the Avengers crossover with Fantastic Four with the actual cast from the other movies and actually have Chris Evans play both Captain America and the Human Torch.
There you go.
In the same scene. I'd be like, boy, you look familiar. Maybe he could be his dad or his grandfather.
Nice.
Maybe he got that Haley Atwell girl pregnant with the big breasts, and she was like, oh, uh-oh. And boom, 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 and then she popped out Johnny Storm a while back.
Nice.
Who knows? That could happen. But I don't know. I think the crossovers are going to get hairy because I've always said the studios should approach these the way they approach the comic books, because the comic books allowed things to happen somewhat non-continuously, as long as you didn't do like a major thing like kill off a character.
Right.
But trying to keep them all separate. And I mean, you can't even keep the X-Men movies consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in one studio.
Yeah. And this is something that we were talking about a few weeks ago with Star Wars, and you brought Star Wars up too, that, you know, it's going to get to a point where, the market is completely oversaturated with all of this stuff. And, you know, you've got a superhero movie coming out every couple of weeks. Yeah. And after a while, it's just not going to be as much fun.
Well, and the thing is, if you follow like Star Wars, if you take use the Star Wars analogy, and I think Disney's going to do this, and this will end up happening with Star Wars. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but when they started, they had all these media tie-in books like Star Trek back in the 80s.
Yep.
And then in the early 90s, Timothy Zahn wrote these three books, the Star Wars trilogy, that was, you know, bestowed upon him by Lucasfilm. And it was a great series, did extremely well. And then they had like another guy do a couple, and they started. And then before you knew it, there was a new Star Wars paperback coming out every week.
The fan fiction is everywhere.
Which, not even fan fiction, but the tie-in.
Well,
the real
true.
Stuff, not even, I mean, the actual licensed stuff.
Yep.
And that was great for a Star Wars fan, and it made it less special, but at least you had the stuff out there, and that's cool. And some of the late, once you got to the, you know, book a week, it was, there were some pretty bad books. I mean, the Zahn books were really good because he was a good writer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, will that happen with Star Wars? It's possible. It could happen with Marvel. I think you're definitely going down that path.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Disney takes all of this, because Disney has everything now.
And And
everything.
Disney is in charge of the. And here's the thing, and this is why it's so funny, is that then you look at some place like, and this dovetails into one of the movie news things we're going to talk about, Warner Brothers. I was thinking about this the other day. How could they do Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and make those such good, solid series, and then they're just like a drunk three-year-old trying to put together these Justice League movies?
Yeah, they're superhero movies.
They're
sad.
But they're talking about now Nolan's there's news about Nolan getting involved in the Justice League movie. He's going to bring back Bale as Batman. And I'm like, whoa. How does that work, and how does that fit in with anything that happened in the movies? Because if you've seen the movies, it's been a year. Spoiler alert. Batman's supposed to die at the end of this movie, or at least the character disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Are you bringing him back after the movie? Are you bringing him back because it was there was like what this 8-year period between
it's true.
Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises?
Right.
Was this taking place before The Dark Knight? But then how is he Bale and how is he going to have? I mean, it's going to quickly make no sense.
It will make Kevin's head explode because it's almost I can see it throbbing right now.
And it's DC. Yeah. See, this is the thing. The DC things gets me, and that's why I can enjoy the Marvel. Guardians of the Galaxy, fine. Put Pauly Shore in there as a giant clown with a big butt. I'd be like, okay, I didn't know that was in there.
But it's kind of neat. I'll take it.
Sure, why not? It was funny. He passed gas. Hilarious. So that's what I thought. Anything else you got to say about Disney, Marvel,
Wow, I
Guardians?
Think you said it all, man.
What are the next one? You really wanted to talk about this movie news. Let's squeak this in there real quick. The James Bond news.
Yes. Sam Mendes has said that he will not be back for the next one.
Wow.
Not
surprising, but sure.
So, yeah, I have seen on Twitter every single name in the world brought up.
Yeah.
Seriously and not.
Please not Christopher Nolan. Yeah. I think he would make a lousy Bond.
Yeah, he would make kind of a crazy Bond.
I saw somebody mention Catherine Bigelow, and I'm like, Catherine Bigelow in like 1993, maybe?
Yeah, no.
But not now.
No.
The one I did see, I wouldn't mind seeing Martin Campbell come back and do it, because he's done two really good Bond movies. You know, GoldenEye and Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to see, somebody mentioned Spielberg. I think Spielberg would be an interesting choice.
That would be interesting.
I think he'd do a good job.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. But I mean,
if he can, you know, go back to the good old days and, you know, do the crazy fun stuff that he used to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you don't want to make it Lincoln.
You don't want to have, you don't want to have Bond talking, telling stories for 5 minutes per
right.
scene, you know, per shot. All right. Well, enough.
We're going to change the casting and star.
Daniel Day-Lewis
Daniel
as
Day
James
Lewis,
Bond. Yeah. He would be a great James Bond because he would just become the character. But yeah, not like P.T. Anderson or somebody like that. That would be terrible. David Fincher, horrible idea for Bond. Ironically, Brett Ratner, he would actually probably make a good Bond movie.
I can see that.
I would hate it. I would hate the fact that I loved it. But Brett Ratner would make a fantastic Bond movie.
There you go.
I'm putting it out there.
Call Hollywood.
MGM, you got that? Make a note. You're listening to the Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. What time is it now, Kristen? What time is it?
It is time for the DVD Roundup.
That's right. Leading off is...
Wreck-It Ralph.
That's a great movie.
Yes, it is.
And it's in 3D.
It is, which is fun. And it comes with Paper Man, which is also in 3D.
In 3D?
Yes.
That was like when I got my review copy of that, I'm like, went on Twitter, I'm like, oh my God, Paper Man is on there! Blah, 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 blah.
Yes, we quickly watched that. Because my husband hadn't seen it. I'm like, you've got to see this!
Paper Man's like a fantastic film.
It is. It is beautiful.
So charming.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single word.
Mm, love it.
Did you hear that did we talk about this last week, that the woman got kicked out of the Oscars?
Yes, we were talking about that.
So silly.
Which I don't know if you talked about that on the air, so you might want to fill our listeners in, because now it just feels like an inside joke. That
the producer of Paper Man was making paper airplanes and kissing him, so it had a lipstick on it, which is part of the thing in the movie, and she was throwing him off
cute.
The balcony at whatever the Staples Center or wherever she was.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Staples Center?
No,
it's
the Staples Center is where
game.
They play hockey.
During the layup.
I don't know what the place is called right now, but it is not the Staples Center.
We know that for sure.
Yes.
But anyway, she got kicked out of there. And they brought her back.
And she won an Oscar.
Oh, my gosh. We're running out of time. We've got about a minute and a half. There's also Schindler's List, which is not as charming and beautiful.
Not quite
the same movie, but it's still a fantastic movie. The,
yes.
The 20th anniversary of Schindler's List. And there's also Westworld on Blu-ray, which is the original that Michael Crichton directed.
Okay.
Red Dawn, which reminds me of the great Red Dawn kerfuffle.
Yes, the one that I missed.
You missed.
Every time I miss a screening, something crazy happens.
Something crazy.
Ugh.
Nightmare on Elm. On my notes, it says Nightmare on Elm's Street. It's not.
Whatever.
It's Nightmare on Elm Street.
It's
Blu-ray
a different
collection. Street. All the movies. And then Marine 3 Homefront, which actually is not as bad as you'd think it might be.
Really?
I know the director, too. And I'm not just saying that because I know him. He's a good guy. But it's a good, solid
it's
sort
with
of...
With The Miz.
Who's from Cleveland. He's from Parma.
Represent.
That's right. I used to watch him when he's on Real World.
I did.
That's how you roll.
That's how I roll.
Yeah.
I watched that season for some reason. I don't know. We didn't have anything better to do. We lived in Massachusetts. We couldn't afford anything else. We watched TV.
They were poor in Massachusetts.
Yes.
It sounds like a sitcom. Poor in Massachusetts.
There you go.
Anyways, Playing for Keeps is a stinker because that thing's awful with Gerard Butler. Anyways, real quickly, review wrap-up. We both said Dead Men Down gets preemptive suck, as does Emperor. And then Oz the Great and Powerful. I think we both said kind of
rocks.
And next week, we're going to be talking about The Call and The Incredible Bert Wonderstone. ThatGuysTheMovies.com. Talk to you guys later.
See ya.